OWC Radio number 37, Post NAB. Hey, it's Tim Robertson here with OWC Radio 2.0, episode number 37. Yeah, I know I didn't have an episode last week. I was in Las Vegas at the NAB show. And, man, what a lot of fun that was. I got to say, I got to meet a lot of people that otherwise there's just no way I would have met. It's a very focused show. NAB stands for National Association of Broadcasters. So at the show, you basically meet producers, directors, the tech people behind the videos that you watch on television, online, at the movies. They kind of all come together and celebrate broadcasting. And the expo portion of the show, of course, is what I attended. And that was for Other World Computing. We had a pretty large booth at this year's NAB show, and we will be back next year as well. We've already reserved our booth space. And this was the first year for a brand new booth for us. Now, it was a little bit different than any booth we've had before. If you go up to the show notes for this episode, so this is episode number 37. In the show notes, I'm going to put a couple of pictures from our booth at NAB. And we had these really long tables, and had the products laid out on them. Looks great. And it was very easy to move around. And it really kind of fostered conversation. And if somebody, if you're talking to someone and they were interested in a product, it was just right there. And if it was on the other side of the table, you could literally reach across the table, pick it up, and let someone hold it. So it was a fun event. Met some really, really interesting people, learning about the challenges that they face. I had a great conversation with a certain major league, a major league sports franchise, or well, not franchise, league, a major league ball. you know what I'm talking about. Had a great conversation with them. It started out, they were interested in a few of our products, and the conversation went into Periscope and Meerkat and these broadcasting live wherever you're at from your phone. And I was wondering, what kind of challenges does that present an organization like theirs? Are they worried that people aren't going to tune in to the television or stream it on an app that they make and instead watch someone's Meerkat, watch someone's Periscope online? Granted, the video quality won't be as good, not nearly as good. You can't really zoom in and get the action. You wouldn't get the announcers talking. But for all intents and purposes, it would be free. And are they worried about it? And I was told that this discussion has been ongoing. There was a lot of hand-wringing for a while. But they kind of came to the conclusion that it's really not competition. They're really not worried about it yet. And that perhaps in the future they would actually encourage it and maybe roll it into their own app. So you could use their app to stream content from a stadium, from a ballpark, and watch it that way as well. It would just enhance the experience of being a fan of that sport. I thought it was a great idea. And I like the fact that they were so forward-thinking that instead of trying to shut it down, trying to scare tactic people away from broadcasting and sending these videos out live, embrace it. Own it. Make it part of the event. Make it so if people at home are watching this, it's going to make them want to come to the park and come to the game in the future, not just enjoy it from afar on a web page or a mobile device, but actually go to the park, spend money, buy merchandise. So this organization is embracing change, and I really, really love to hear that. But who knew that I would have that conversation last week in Las Vegas at the NAB show? That's, I mean, those are the kind of things that just kind of happen. And those kinds of conversations happened all the time last week. I can't tell you how refreshing it was. It was just great. Now, unlike previous episodes of OWC Radio, I'm not going to have a special guest this week. I do have one, however, lined up for next week. If it goes through, I'll be very, very happy because it's actually, I'm not going to give his name or anything yet. It's one of my favorite authors. He is publishing digitally only right now. At least I think it's only digital. He might have hard copies at this point, but I found him through the Kindle store. And it was just, you know, one of those things that I, on my own personal Twitter account, I actually promoted his stuff. That's how he found me. I signed up for his email, you know, the email that he sends out when new books are available. He's my favorite author right now. He has been for a couple years now. And we started talking, and I kind of convinced him to come here on OWC Radio and discuss publishing and the technologies behind it and really what it means to publish nowadays as a writer when you don't really need a publishing house behind you. You don't need a huge infrastructure of publishing your books and marketing your books. And I think it'll be an interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to it. He's not, by any stretch of the imagination, a real tech guy. And I find it refreshing. So hopefully he's going to be able to be on the show next week, and we'll get back to our second half of the show, interview conversations with my random questions. But this show is going to be just me, so I hope you're not too disappointed. So it will be a little bit of a shorter show this week, but I do have a handful of topics I want to talk about, including some OWC stuff. Of course, this is OWC Radio. While we were at NAB, all the staff members who were working the booth had around our necks on a lanyard the OWC Envoy Pro Mini. Now, if you haven't checked this out, you really should. And I got to have hands-on experience with it at CES and at NAB, but I accidentally brought mine home. I was supposed to leave it, and I have it shipped back to OWC, and I will give it back to I'll take it into the office the next time I go. But it accidentally got left with me, so I've been playing with it. Now, it's one thing to read what this is online, and it's quite another to actually get hands-on experience using it. Now, the Envoy Pro Mini, it looks kind of like a little flash drive, a little flash disk. You know those little cheap things that you can buy? They're $15-$20. They got a couple gigs on them. Just a USB stick, right? That's kind of what it looks like. Except, that's not really what this is. I'm tapping it right now. It's aluminum. It's really, really well built. It's lightning fast. It's an actual SSD that gets 433 megabytes a second over USB 3. So, it's a USB 3 stick. It's an SSD, and it's just super portable. So like I said, I accidentally brought it home. I thought I'd play with it, get a little experience with it. I've got the 120 gigabyte version that goes for $119. You can also get a 240 gigabyte version for $199. So I wanted to see how fast this was. So I plugged it in to the USB port on my 15-inch MacBook Pro. And I just grabbed a whole bunch of movie files. It was about, 70, 80 gigs worth or so. And I just, you know, dragged them right over to the Envoy Pro Mini and let it copy. I honestly couldn't believe how fast it was copying them. It was blazing fast. This is a great, great SSD. If you need to transfer files between computers quickly, securely, easily, this is the product for you. And honestly, I spend a lot of times in hotels. The way I usually watch movies is from my own iTunes collection here at home. I copy them over to my laptop. It works, but it's not the fastest way of doing it. I use AirDrop. This is a whole lot better. And here's the cool part. Because it's 120 gigs, again, this one isn't mine. I've got to give this one back. But I'm going to buy one of these. Because it's an SSD and it's super fast, you don't have to take these things off this drive to put them on your computer's hard drive to watch them. Just copy the movies to this disk and double-click and watch them right from the disk on your computer. No slowdown, no buffering, none of that stuff. It's just super fast. I love this thing. And everybody that I showed at NAB loved this thing. I can't tell you how many people said, I'm buying a few of those. I've been looking for something just like that. You don't have to plug it in to an external power source. It's small. And, you know, these are production people that a lot of them are out in the wilds filming. And they need to transfer large amounts of data quickly. But they don't want to carry a whole bunch of stuff with them. So for a lot of people that I talked to, when I showed them this, and they got to hold it, got to see the build quality. You can pull the little cap off, but it's not easy to pull off. It's secure on there. It's an awesome device. So many people there said, I'm getting a couple of those. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And we've got a 480 gigabyte version coming soon as well. I mean, that's a half a terabyte, and it fits in the palm of your hand. You could close your hand around it. It's pretty cool. So a couple of the stories that I wanted to talk about here on OWC Radio. This one, I don't even know. All right, I'm just going to jump right in it. This is from 9 to 5 Mac, and the headline is, Manhattan District Attorney says iPhone security helps terrorists. And a quote from the article. Apple has created a phone that is dark, that cannot be accessed by law enforcement, even when a court has authorized us to look at its contents. That's what he said to WNYM 970 AM. That's going to be a terrorist communications device of choice. The issue isn't constrained to the United States government either, the article continues. British Prime Minister David Cameron has previously voiced support for banning encrypted communications altogether, a sentiment with which the White House later said it agreed. You know, here's the thing. Nobody wants to support terrorism. But to suggest that the encryption on your iPhone is designed to help terrorists or helps terrorism is absurd. And it's scare tactics that I think people are tired of hearing. It's amazing what government officials will say to further their own agenda sometimes. And it's not just government. Business people do it. Your next door neighbors can do it. People will try to use fear like this. I don't like it at all. It kind of ticks me off, to be honest. Now, the real reason I think that law enforcement, especially a district attorney in Manhattan, doesn't like encryption is because it does make his job harder. If they want to bug the phone of a suspected drug dealer, they can't. Not this way, anyways. They can't just access the phone and get the information they want. They can, however, compel a defendant with a court order to unlock a phone and get the information that way. You can't really compel a terrorist, though. You can't eavesdrop on a terrorist because of the encryption. So I get their points, but what I don't like is the outright fear-mongering that goes around it. And as a user of an iPhone, or an Android device for that matter, I want to have my information encrypted. I want it protected. Don't I have a right to privacy? Shouldn't I decide who gets into my phone? Don't you want technology that will allow, or will disallow any government from eavesdropping on your communications? I do. So I don't like the fear-mongering, but I understand that there is a real problem when it comes to technologies that encrypt data and it does hinder law enforcement. And it could hinder the fight against terrorism. But here's the thing. Encryption technologies have been around for a very long time. And to try to scare people into giving up your privacy in the name of fighting terrorism, I don't know. I think I like liberty a little bit more than me giving up my rights. But I am curious on what you guys think of this story. Do you think it's justified for a Manhattan district attorney to say the iPhone security helps terrorists? Is that hyperbole only? Is there some merit to it? Let me know. In fact, I would like to know any questions you may have or any comments you may have on any topic we talk about here on OWC Radio. Very simple to get a hold of me. It's OWC Radio, one word, at maxsales.com. The next thing, I just got to shake my head. I don't even know what to think. This was a story from KTUL. All right, you ready for this? You probably read at least the headlines online, and you probably did the same thing, to shake your head. Tulsa roommates stab each other over debate between iPhone and Android. Good Lord. Here's the story, as reported again by KTUL.com. And I will have a link to this and all the stories that I talk about here on OWC Radio in the show notes for this episode. So simply go to blog.maxsales.com and look for OWC Radio number 37. Two men are hospitalized after an alcohol-fueled argument began over which phone is better, iPhone or Android. What? Alcohol was involved in this? No, you don't say. Tulsa police say a woman found a man covered in blood stumbling around the parking lot of the Evergreen apartment around 1 a.m. When police arrived at the apartment complex, they learned that the roommate had been drinking and arguing over their mobile phones. Police say the two men broke beer bottles and stabbed each other with them. One of the men smashed a bottle over the back of the other man's head. Police aren't sure who they will charge or if charges will be filed at all at this time. Both men are being treated at an area hospital for their injuries. Police did not respond when our photographer asked which phone is better. It's like a classic Hollywood bar brawl, but it happened at a complex, an apartment complex in Tulsa. They broke beer bottles and stabbed each other. Here's the thing. This is so ridiculous. It's sad, to be honest. It's just sad. If you want to tell me your Android device is better than my iPhone, I'm just going to say okay. Because at the end of the day, it's whatever tool works for you. If you say your Windows is better than my Mac, that's fine. Sure. For you, it probably is. It wouldn't be for me. I can guarantee you that. But for some people, Windows is better than the Mac. For some people, Android is better than the iPhone. That's not in dispute. So why would you start arguing over which is better? Now, look, these guys must have had more problems than just Android versus iPhone. I mean, let's be honest. This had to have been just the tipping point to set these guys off. As far as, you know, if any charges are going to be filed, you know what? I think both these guys were punished enough. They were both stabbed. Not cool. And B, just the humiliation of being known as the guy that stabbed or got stabbed over an argument over iPhone versus Android. It's ridiculous. Stop it. And again, if you want to come at me with a beer bottle, you win the argument. I don't care what we're arguing about. Yep, you win. You're right. It's better. I'm going to go buy your Android or your iPhone device immediately. Just, oy, this is crazy, right? Did you read about that story before I said anything? If not, I've got a link, again, show notes for episode 37, OWC Radio. blog.macsales.com. It's just ridiculous. And the humor that they try to inject here at the end, police did not respond when our photographer asked which phone is better. Oy, stop it. You're supposed to be a news organization reporting a stabbing, and you're making snarky, funny little remarks. That's not cool. So a week before NAB, on the ODBC Facebook and Twitter page, I posted a link to the ODBC Flash. And I was kind of surprised by how many people retweeted this and reached out for more information, because honestly, it's a cool product, but I was kind of amazed. And let me explain why. First of all, let me explain what this is and then extrapolate on that a little bit. The OWC Flash is $49. Now, it gives your iPod, yes, iPod, another 9 lives in just 3 easy steps. Now, you remove your iPod, and again, I'm not saying iPhone or iPad, iPod. And this is for the 5th generation iPod or the iPod Classic. Remember, both of those have the internal hard drive, mechanical hard drive. So you remove your iPod's current hard drive. You insert an SDHC or SDXC flash card up to 256 gigabytes into your iFlash, and you install the iFlash into your iPod. Do you get what that is then? So you take out your hard drive from your iPod. Now, the OWC Flash is kind of like the data doubler, except it's a little cradle that you could put an SDHC card or SDXC flash card into storage. And then you take that and put it into your iPod. That's it. That's what it does. Now, we also sell it for $99 that includes a 128 gigabyte Patriot LX Series Class 10 SDXC card. And again, this is for the 5th generation iPod or the iPod Classic. We've had this for a while, and I didn't know this many people were still kind of in love with their iPods. I mean, we all have iPhones or Android devices, right? And that has the music player built in. It is an iPod. The iPod is an app at this point, but it's portable music. But of course, we're installing a lot of apps on our mobile devices. So you got a lot less room to put your music. And if you're a music lover, you want more music on there. So I didn't know that there was still a lot of people really in love with their iPods. I thought Apple canceled it because everyone kind of moved on. Now, I've got a 5th generation iPod. It actually has a 250 gigabyte hard drive in it that I got from OWC maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I mean, it is a long time ago. And it holds that 250 gig hard drive in there. It holds all my music. But here's the thing. I don't usually ever take it with me. Now, when I go to a place like Vegas, where I know I'm going to be on an airplane for 4 hours or something, and I know I'm going to want to listen to music, that's about the only time that I break out my iPod and bring it with me, because I've got everything at that point. I'm not limited. Now, I have a 64 gigabyte iPod or iPhone, but about half of that, probably a little bit more than half of that, is filled up with apps. And I use it to take pictures, so I don't want to fill the whole thing up. Now, I've got music on it, but I don't know what I'm going to want to listen to the next day sitting on an aircraft. Maybe I want to listen to some U2. And, oh, I didn't sync the U2 playlist to my iPhone. Well, if I got my iPod with me, I've got everything. And it's kind of weird to go back to an iPod with the scroll click wheel after using an iPhone for so long. But the audio quality of the iPods are really good. And I still think the whole scroll wheel thing, I still think it was a brilliant idea, and it holds up today really well. And a lot of people still like their iPods. I know when Apple canceled the iPod Classic about a year ago or less, there was this mad scramble for people looking for brand new iPods online. The prices of iPods actually shot way up. So maybe I shouldn't be surprised that the OWC Flash for $50 got so much attention on social media. And some kind of big names out there. Jason Snell, formerly of Macworld Magazine, he was very interested in one. And we were talking on social media and email about getting him an OWC Flash so he can take a look and do a product review of it. So are you still interested in your iPod? Is it something that you still use? Are you interested in the OWC Flash to kind of take your iPod to the next generation? It'd be flash memory. It'd be larger storage. It access the information a lot faster. Let me know. I am curious. OWCRadio@MacSales.com. And of course, if you want to follow us on Twitter or Facebook when we're posting these kind of product announcements, it's at MacSales on Twitter, and Facebook is facebook.com/OWCMacSales. Just, you know, if you really love your iPod, don't get in an argument with someone with a Zune, okay? Oh, boy. Up on the blog, OWC tears down test new 2015 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. Now, it's pretty much the same MacBook Pro that they sold previously, but they added that new cool trackpad. And they call it the Force Touch trackpad. Now, we do know that it's in the MacBook as well, the new MacBook, but they also brought it over to the MacBook Pro. And I've got a link to it. It's a lot of pictures, breaks it down by component. It's really interesting to look at all the upgrade options that you may have in the future, how easy it is to take apart, how things all fit together. Look, we're Mac guys. We love to look at these teardown pictures. It's kind of cool. But we got some comments from an OWC-er who took it apart, and he says, "The Force Touchpad trackpad is simply cool. The trackpad no longer moves, and the new tech actually makes it feel like it does. Power it down and the trackpad doesn't click at all. Really amazing tech and super fast. You would swear it's clicking downward when it's not. It's a really great inventive tech item that definitely wows more in person. Nicely done." I haven't been able to play with the new Force Touch trackpad yet. I'm going to have to visit an Apple store soon anyways, and I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. And of course, it is on the new MacBook as well. And we did get our hands on the new MacBook, and this is interesting. This is from a blog post at blog.macsales.com. And again, there'll be a link in the show notes to this. And the title is, "Apple appears to use its own SSD controller in new 12-inch MacBook." This is kind of big news, you know. They're using their own SSD. Up to this point, Apple has used SSDs from third parties. So, after tearing down the thin new 2015 12-inch MacBook, we found an interesting tidbit in the System Profiler under NVM Express category. The MacBook's SSD is named Apple SSD with a part number AP0256H. Typically, the SSDs in Macs have been labeled SM for Samsung or SD for SanDisk, for example. The AP prefix would certainly seem to point to the SSD being Apple designed. This, of course, would be a logical next step after Apple bought Israeli Semiconductor Anobit Technologies in late 2011, early 12 timeframe. By the way, I'm reading this from the website. And of course, as we noted earlier this week in the Rocket Yard, by the way, is the name of the OWC blog. And of course, as we noted earlier this week on the Rocket Yard, Apple has also shifted its SSD interface from AHCI protocol to support the NVM Express SSD interface in macOS 10.10.3, which is optimized for PCIe-based SSD. This change should provide faster SSD performance than is possible with the current AHCI implementations. So, is Apple using its own NAND controller for the first time in a laptop with a new 20-inch or 12-inch MacBook? This evidence would certainly seem to point in that direction. Look, Apple, and great article, by the way, great investigation by the OWC blog writers up there. That's fantastic. But and look, Apple did buy this semiconductor company a couple years ago, Anabit Technologies. And a lot of people were wondering why they bought it, what are they going to do with it. A lot of people assumed that maybe they're going to start making their own processors themselves instead of going to Samsung and other companies. Well, here's proof that maybe they're making their own SSDs instead of going through Samsung, which is a fierce competitor in the consumer market, or SanDisk, just going to make their own. And if they're making their own, you know they're saving a lot of money. Are they going to pass that money on to us? I'm sure they are. I'm sure that's Apple's plan. we're going to make our own SSDs and charge less for our computers. Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up this shorter than usual OWC radio, because again, no guests this week, just me. This is interesting. So, as you may or may not know, WWDC, Worldwide Developers Conference 2015, is going on June 8th through the 12th at the Moscone West Conference Center in San Francisco. I've been to the Moscone West many times for Macworld Expo before they stopped doing the Macworld Expos. I would love to go to a WWDC one of these days, but it's like $1,300 or something. And plus, I'm not a developer, so it's just I know so many people who are there. It would just be fun. Anyways, Apple sends out the announcement for this new WWDC. And as they've been doing lately, you know, with all the color graphics that they have, or kind of bubbles and squares and all this stuff. Well, for this one, for the WWDC 2015, they did the very similar graphic style for the header graphic for the advertisement, except for right in the middle, the shape and the color is a clear. I mean, it clearly shows an Apple TV. Now, of course, everyone's now speculating of what it could mean. And I've got to be honest, I'm very curious as well. WWDC coming up just a couple months from now. And the graphics clearly show an Apple TV. Now, what could that mean? Well, if this is a developer conference and they have the Apple TV in their literature, I think it's kind of safe to assume that, or presume, I should say, that at least part of the focus is going to be on the Apple TV. And if that's the case, and it's, a developer's conference, that would suggest a new Apple TV is on its way, and it will support third-party apps. Now, by third-party apps, what do I mean? Well, I don't know. Games? Anybody want to play games on their Apple TV connected to their big screen? I'm going to assume yes. I think that's probably a fair assumption. Look, I definitely want to. But it could also be used for a lot of different apps. What about Skype? Wouldn't it be cool if the Apple TV had a built-in video camera and you could use something like Skype or FaceTime to chat in your living room? That would be pretty cool. And because the Apple TV sits a lot farther away from, say, a couch or a chair, you could see a lot more pictures. So you can have, look, I go all over the place, right? I was just in Las Vegas. It would have been very, very cool to be able to pull up my iPhone and do a FaceTime with my wife and kids who are just simply sitting in the living room on the couch. I could see all of them instead of my wife holding her iPhone out as far away from her face as possible so I can get them, you know, I could see them all on the screen at the same time. That would be pretty cool. And of course, if it had a built-in camera, it's assumed that there would be a built-in microphone to pick up as well. That would be awesome. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's something that I wanted to happen for a long time. And if Apple's unveiling a new Apple TV at the WWDC, at that conference, That suggests that they're going to support third-party development for the Apple TV. So this is my question to you. If this comes to pass, and it kind of looks like it's going to, what apps, either on the Mac or on iOS, would you love to see on the Apple TV? And why? Why that app? Maybe there's certain games that you want to be able to play. Maybe there's some productivity software that you would love. Maybe it's a shopping app. Maybe it's Amazon app would be kind of cool, right? Maybe it's, an Evernote or a cooking app. I would love a cooking app on my Apple TV. That would give me a reason to put an Apple TV in the kitchen where I've got a 32-inch flat screen on the wall. Being able to plug an Apple TV into that with such a big screen with a cooking app, and I can just look up at that big screen instead of hauling my either laptop or my iPad around the kitchen with me, that would be awesome. I would love that. If you couldn't guess, I'm the cook of the family, so. There's so many cool things that an app equipped or an Apple TV equipped device could really, the possibilities are just, to me, awesome. I think it would be, at least in my opinion, the next logical step for iOS, right? It's mobile, small, now it's in the TV, kitchen, living room, bedroom, den, wherever you have a TV, plug an Apple TV into it, and there's all these apps. I think it'd be pretty cool, especially if the price points for games are about the same as they are currently. Because look, games for Xbox and PlayStation and the Wii U, they're expensive. Stuff for the iOS is not expensive, and the gaming is fantastic on it. So, what do you think? Give me your opinion. I would love to know what apps you think would work really, really well on the Apple TV. OWCRadio@MacSales.com. You can also use your iPhone, go into the voice memo, record yourself. When you're done, send that voice recording right from the voice memo app to OWCRadio@MacSales.com, and I'll play it right here on the show. So with that, keep your fingers crossed that my favorite author is able to come on the show next week. I really hope he does. I've got some questions that I would love to ask him, and hey, maybe you guys will find a new author that you like if he comes on as well, and something new to read, right? Thanks for listening to this episode of OWC Radio. Once again, I'd like to remind you to go to MacSales.com for any of your Mac or PC-related needs. Need external storage? MacSales.com. RAM? MacSales.com. Need a brand new SSD? Are you still puttering around on a standard hard drive on your MacBook Pro? Check out MacSales.com. MacSales.com. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.